الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ثم أما بعد The last thing we talked about was the word that Allah Azza wa Jal had given to them to say. The word was hitta. And as I mentioned yesterday, hitta is to drop a load or to relieve a burden. And they were burdened with sin, so this was the figuratively the word expression given to them by Allah to ask for forgiveness, so they would be relieved of the burden of their sins. But then, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ But those who did wrong, replaced it, changed it, بَدَّلَ And بَدَّلَ also implies that they changed it over and over again. In other words, they didn't say it once, they kept saying it as a joke, repeating it. قَوْلًا With a statement, غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ Other than the one that was said to them. There are also some very beautiful parallels between this and the story of Adam alayhi salam. The first of them is Adam alayhi salam, when he had made his historic mistake, he was also given words to earn forgiveness. And these people have made a lot of mistakes and now they're being given a word from Allah to earn forgiveness. Adam alayhi salam utters those words and Allah azza wa jal fataba alayhi. He turned back towards him and he accepted his tawbah. These people, instead of earning that tawbah, started making a mockery of what Allah had given them, the word that Allah had given them. Allah Azza wa Jal told Adam alayhi salam, if he doesn't, and by the way, Adam, the words Adam alayhi salam were given, وَرَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا We had done wrong, right? And even in Jannah, the instruction was, if you come near the tree, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ You'll become from wrongdoers. Here, because they did wrong, they're called الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا Just inconsistency with what has been mentioned before. So those who were wrongdoers said, other than which was told to them, فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا Once again, we sent upon those who had done wrong, رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ A calamity from the sky. Rijz is described by some narrators as a disease that would make their insides come out of their skin. In other words, their skin looked like it was peeled off, and it was a kind of very vicious kind of disease that they suffered. بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ Because of the corruption they continually engaged in. Now this is, this كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ is important. Allah didn't just say, بِالْقَوْلِ الَّذِي قِيلَ الَّذِي قَالُوا Not because of the word that they said, but because of the corruption they continually engaged in. In other words, this punishment didn't just come down because they made fun of Allah's offering of forgiveness, but all the other things that they could have been forgiven for, plus this, بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ It considers all of it. Because kana goes further in the past. So they had been doing wrong, and now this punishment comes, that this whole thing could have been avoided if only they uttered the right words with sincerity. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ And then another favor of Allah. When Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, istisqa, when it's not mentioned who of, then it's like istighfar. When you say istaghfara, it's implied istaghfar Allah. Istighfar in Arabic literature is not used for anyone other than Allah. You don't, if you're seeking forgiveness of anyone other than Allah, other words are used. Isti'fa is used, for example. But istighfar is only used for Allah. Similarly, istisqa, literally, linguistically speaking, only refers to Allah, asking Allah for water, asking Allah for rain. So when Musa alayhi salam asked Allah for rain for the sake of his nation, لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ Then we said, meaning Allah said, strike, especially with your staff, strike the boulder. Now there's something special about the staff that Allah has given to Musa alayhi salam. The staff comes up over and over again in the story of Musa alayhi salam. It comes up in the conversation between Allah and Musa alayhi salam. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا It comes up, of course, as you know, in the case against Fir'aun. And now it's coming up again. And before this even, it came up in the parting of the water. Anyhow, so Allah Azza wa Jal tells him to do this. Subtlety here, Allah said about the Bani Israel, He said, لِقَوْمِهِ He said to His nation. If you study the ayat of the Qur'an that have to do with Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel, a time will come where He separates Himself from them. He doesn't care about them anymore. أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ I'm separating myself from you. I have nothing to do with you. But there are times in history where he's still worried about them. He hasn't given up on them yet. When he has not yet given up on them, we find the phrase لِقَوْمِهِ He said to his nation. Because he's still showing concern for them, that's why he's asking Allah for water. The shade has been taken care of, the proteins and carbohydrates, manna and salwa is done with, the only essential left is water. So he asks Allah Azza wa Jal for water. Now Allah says, فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَةَ عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا When you strike the staff, 12 springs will burst out. Now obviously 12 springs because there are 12 tribes. قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ Every group of people knew their place of drink. So there won't be any fights between them over who gets what water. And by the way, interestingly, even in our times, nations can go to war over where rivers flow and where water flows. So waterways are actually very strategic assets, even today in international relations, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal knew water can become a cause of serious conflict. So He made sure there are not going to be any conflicts. He gave them 12 springs. But a subtlety in the Qur'an, something very beautiful, which inshallah if we get a time in detail, tafsir, we'll talk in more detail, but I'll give you some clue to it. In Surah Al-A'raf, this incident is mentioned again. But that time, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say فَانْفَجَرَتْ He says فَانْبَجَسَتْ A different word is used for the springs, gushing water. This time, فَانْفِجَار means to explode, to burst open. But imbijas, different word, imbajasat, it actually means to crack and leak out, drip out water. In other words, one mentions water gushing out, and the other mentions water just coming out, but not that much. It's not as strong as the word infajarat. So the question is, how come Allah Azza wa Jal mentions imbajasat in one place, and infajarat, the stronger gushing out, in the other place? Scholars have talked about this issue as well. You know, our ulama, may Allah bless them, they pay attention to every detail in the Qur'an. Everything's a treasure they don't want to overlook. So in commentary you find some pretty remarkable things. For instance, when Musa alayhi salam asked, infajarat. But in Surah Al-A'raf, Musa alayhi salam didn't ask. Bani Israel asked Musa alayhi salam. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى إِذْ اسْتَسْقَاهُ قَوْمُهُ When Musa alayhi salam, his nation asked water from him specifically. And now, so since the nation is asking, less is mentioned. And ulama comment about this, that when the first time when the staff was struck, water was gushing out. But they continuously sinned, and the more they sinned, the less the water became. So the water got weaker and weaker and weaker over time. But since in Baqarah Allah is mentioning His favors, His great favors upon them, the bigger favor is mentioned in Fajarah. And then later on when their sins are being counted, in Bajasa, subhanAllah. Even that, you have this subtlety in the remarkable language. So, فَانْفَجَرَتْ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَةَ عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ Eat and consume, eat and drink from the provision of Allah, meaning the provision Allah has given you. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ عَثَى or عَثِيَا Arabic. عَثِيَا يَعْثَى عِثِيًا is the form, the infinitive form of this word, actually means to be corrupt. And it's mentioned right after the hal mufsidin. Mufsidin is also commonly translated corrupt. So Allah says, literally it says, don't go causing corruption in the land. That's how most translators translate this part of the ayah. But corruption is mentioned twice, and it's something we should pay attention to. Athiyah in Arabic is not just any kind of corruption. It is a corruption of the mind based on false ideas. When some, you know, propaganda, when it corrupts your thinking, and as a result of propaganda or insinuation, you do corrupt things, this is athiyah. You've become corrupt. You've been corrupted, in other words. So Allah tells them, don't become corrupted. You know why? Because in the absence of Musa alayhi salam, a lot of corruption was done in their minds. Right? So now in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells them, eat and consume from the good that Allah has provided you. And you know, then these ideas, they start thinking, man, we're stuck with the same menu every day. How can we get better food? I miss the food back in Egypt, you know. We used to have much better meals back then, and that's coming up later on too. It's a very powerful ayah that's coming up. So their minds are getting corrupt. Then to make life better, Musa alayhi salam goes and they start coming into the talk, you know, start getting impressed with the talks of Samiri, and they start worshipping the calf. So this is corruption in their minds. But this is corruption that is lazim, their own corruption. But then Allah says, mufsidin, not fasidin. Fasid is someone who's corrupt. Mufsid, muta'addi, is someone who causes corruption in others, makes other things corrupt. So Allah Azza wa Jalla told them, you don't be corrupt and don't, as a result of your corruption, create more corruption outside of yourselves. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. This is the warning Allah gave them. And in this warning, there's a very powerful lesson about the nature of corruption. When you become corrupt, it doesn't stay by yourself. Its impact, its harms, spread around you. And when somebody says, man, society is corrupt, the rulers are corrupt, the government is corrupt, these major corporations are corrupt, you know, and that therefore it's okay for me to be a little corrupt too. No, then you're the cause of it. You have to change it in your life. Instead of blaming big things, you don't be corrupt yourself. And if you are, you're only reinforcing that corruption. You're part of that fasad. So Allah says to them, وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Then finally we'll end with this ayah. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. When all of you said to Musa alayhi salam, we are not going to remain patient over one kind of meal. Same menu every day. So what's for lunch? Manna and salwa. Okay, so what are we having for dinner? Salwa and manna. You know? It's the same item every single day. So they're sitting around saying, man, I'm tired of this food. God, what are we supposed to do? So now they're reminiscing. It's amazing. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. They tell Musa alayhi salam, we can't be patient with one kind of food. فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ. You go ask your master. Now, you know what's interesting? They didn't ask Allah. They didn't ask Allah. They told Musa alayhi salam to ask Allah. Why? Because they know how corrupt they are. They're in no position to ask Allah. They know the kinds of things they say about Allah. لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكْ حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We're not going to believe except what you're saying until we see Allah face to face. These are blasphemous people. So they know they have no chance of getting their dua accepted. But they know pretty well that Musa alayhi salam does get his dua accepted. So they put the menu order before him. Go, you ask your master. Why don't you go ask him? اُدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكْ. For us, for our sake, ask. يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا. He'll bring out for us its garlic and lentils and onions. You might as well throw in French fries and extra ketchup on the side. And, you know, put in the whole menu item. Now the question is, they're living in the desert, right? They're in the desert for a while. They didn't learn the names of these vegetables in the desert. Where did they learn these names? How did they learn the names of these vegetables? How did they know what to order with Allah? Because they used to live in Egypt. And in Egypt, when they were slaves, they used to eat this kind of food. Now the very powerful idea here, this is what I'll conclude with, I'll take one extra minute inshallah, is if you come out of prison, and then you're sitting at home eating, and you say, man, I miss prison food. If you say that, what are you actually saying you miss? You miss prison. Saying that you miss food from prison means you miss prison itself. So when they go to Musa alayhi salam and ask for the food they used to enjoy back in the day, it is like they have no appreciation for what they have. What do they have? Freedom. Freedom. This one item menu that they're eating is a small price to pay for what? For what people would rather die for. Who of us would rather eat all kinds of foods in prison? And who of us would be happy with just eating one kind of food so long as they're free? Can you imagine? So they have no appreciation for what they have. They ask Allah Azza wa Jal, they ask Musa alayhi salam to order food, prison food basically. They have no respect for what they just have. And so we can't finish this ayah today because it takes too long, but I'll just give you one piece of it and we'll finish this puzzle tomorrow. What's so bad about the life in Egypt anyway? What is so bad about it? There are three things that I'd like you to remember, and we'll recall these three things tomorrow inshallah. The first of these things is that the life of slavery is humiliating. It's humiliating. There is only dhilla. There's only humiliation. Human beings, to have their dignity is to have their freedom. To be enslaved is to lose your dignity. The only slavery that has dignity is slavery to Allah. No other slavery has dignity. Right? So that's one. The second is, when you're slaves, you are not self-determinant as a nation. You know how you say self-determined nation? Or a sovereign nation that can, you know, pursue its own destiny? You're not free to do as you will. You are powerless. So the second problem with prison or this life of slavery, one, it's humiliating. Second, you're powerless. And here's the third problem. The third problem is, whoever you are slaves of can do whatever they want with you. And you can't do anything back. Not only can you not help yourself to improve your situation, that's one thing, you can't even protect yourself from oppression that is coming at the hand of the king. And this king, Fir'aun, la'anahu Allah, every other year, what does he do? He kills all the boys, he kills all the children. You know, يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. And he's blackening your faces. They can't escape this torture, they have nowhere to go. They're stuck in this situation. So the three things I recall once again is humiliation, powerlessness, and oppression. These are three things that come with the life of slavery. So when they ask Allah for that food, it's like they're asking for those three things again. So we'll see inshallah ta'ala how this ayah concludes tomorrow. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.